Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We're in that holiday kind of mood, huh? It's Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. Chuck out today.
I'm going to get my butt examined.
Weather is on top of him, so our friend front office Los, Carlos Medina. In for the King, we're with you till 6 o'clock. That's when the Front Row's audio fun bag will follow. I'll remind you, the 4 o'clock hour is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows.
Atlanta's slamming in your windows.
Please. Atlanta's local experts for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate now, because it takes multiple personalities around here to fill the shoes of Chuck. Dan Matthews is on College Football Today. Petrolli's got a CFT in 5 minutes. Dan, tease us.
Snuff film.
Awesome. Oh, not today. You're unlucky in that regard. Sorry. If I could offer you something that I know that you would love for something that I'm not sure you'd really like, would you take it?
I think I prefer the first thing.
I like what you're doing there. We'll find out. I'm a little confused, but I like to be confused.
Long tease.
I thought he hit it. I thought he hit it well. So, Lois, you want to remind Brian Hoyt why he's a big fat jerk and doesn't deserve what he's watching?
You know, there was a time where a Hunter Renfrow caught a pass to win a national championship for Clemson. There was a time where this guy who played tight end at Central Michigan decided to play defensive end, walked on at Wisconsin, and turned into J.J. Watt. There's these stories of these walk-ons and what they accomplished. You're about to have, if everything plays out, the greatest walk-on story, former walk-on story in the history of college football, even surpassing Baker Mayfield with being a former walk-on at two different universities before winning a Heisman Trophy. If Stetson Bennett gets this done, this becomes the single greatest story of a former walk-on player in the history of college football, and Hoyt can't enjoy it.
Well, because you know why? Because he dug in with his opinion a year ago, and he's one of these stubborn men who just don't want to admit, all right, maybe I was wrong, part one, part two. This is the guy that's taken me to the greatest success of my life. This is the same Brian Hoyt who used to bitch and complain about Bama. We'll never catch Bama. We'll never beat Bama. This is the same Brian Hoyt who used to complain about his team just being good and not great. And you know the guy who's taken him over the threshold of greatness is Stetson Bennett, and it's hard for him to accept even at this stage of the game.
And a really, 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 really good defense.
And that's fine. There's no doubt about that. But nobody said anything bad about the defense. You're the one who said bad stuff about Stetson. There's a big difference. Do you not
see
that?
We were in Indianapolis last year, and they're down in that football game. And guess what? The defense wasn't going to score to put you ahead. He had to.
Interesting.
And guess what? The defense also to give up the ball in their own red zone, giving Alabama their first touchdown of the game.
Well, good. You said that cleanly,
interesting.
Too.
Interesting.
That was great.
He'll never be able to enjoy the fact that he's watching perhaps the single greatest one of these in the history of college football as far as the fairy tale story.
He will give Kirby all the credit. He will credit the defense. Hell, he'll credit GAs. But he won't admit it. He's living in Stetson. And that's a tough thing for him. Like, that's a tough place for him to live till the end of time.
Living in Stetson.
I mean, he is living. Here's the thing, Hoyt. And I don't want this to be your life. But there's a chance you win a natty this year and you never win one again. So 50 years from now.
You're living in Bear.
No, you're living in Stetson. You could be living in Stetson 50 years from now when Stetson he's doing middays on this radio station. And he's doing appearances, and you're taking your little shots at him, and you're pressing buttons back there, and we're all living in Stetson. I want you to embrace that.
That man took the ball against UAB last year and never gave it back.
27-3. I mean, I'm sorry.
The defense is 27-3. Kirby's 27-3. The running backs are 27-3.
You're living in Stetson.
You had 15 players drafted last year. Let's not forget that.
And I know they left. Who came back? Oh, yeah, the guy who's taking you back to the undefeated season. You don't win this one. You can't win. He's throwing to Ladd McConkey.
Ladd's a good, hang on, don't downplay Ladd.
Ladd's a fine receiver, but you get my point. It looks nothing like Jameson Williams and Jalen Waddle, and you get my point.
So it's wrong for me to take shots at Stetson for being a three-star, but you can go after Ladd all you want for being a three-star. Yeah, that's what you just did.
I've never gone after Ladd.
He's throwing to Ladd McCutcheon. You just went
I'm
after Ladd.
I'm making a point, because we're living in Stetson, that he's got Ladd, who's a fine receiver.
We're living in Kirby.
You know, Hey, how many titles did Kirby win before Stetson? Oh, okay. I just want, again, you got very quiet over there. It's very
the only
quiet.
Thing, the only
that
thing
sounded
that's
like
going,
the audio chat, mate.
The only thing that's going to save him is if next year they keep this rolling and it's like Carson Beck, so that he can then be like, see, told you anybody can do it.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, if Carson Beck goes 13-0 and they win a national championship with him, then some of this luster.
Have you seen that schedule?
Yeah, it's not very good. Not very good. But since we're living in Stetson, the schedule doesn't matter. A reminder for Georgia fans, do not wait to make your travel plans for the national championship game. You're thinking, well, Matt, don't jinx it. It's not about that. You want to have plans set in place when Georgia wins in the Peach Bowl. And by the time you wait, it's going to be too late and too expensive. Well, Atlanta Sports Trips wants to take care of the ultimate football and gambling weekend. So it's a championship getaway with a twist. Atlanta Sports Trips is trying to save you the prices of the insane hotel and airfare to L.A. by offering you three nights in Las Vegas.
Vegas!
Yes, at the MGM Grand, January 7th, 8th, and 9th, with luxury round-trip motor coach transportation from the MGM Grand on game day, Monday morning, January 9th, to SoFi Stadium in L.A.
Trips for sports or something like that?
Very close, Chuck. Picture a rolling tailgate with food, drinks, TVs, bathroom on board, and dropped off at the front step right there of SoFi Stadium.
Or think about 4 hours driving through the desert by yourself.
Which some people did last time.
I did.
You did that one going from Vegas to
Pasadena.
To go to the Rose Bowl.
That was a poor choice.
So game tickets are also available for purchase by request. Don't worry. This is, you can book worry-free. If the Dogs don't make it to the championship game, it's all fully refundable, and it's filling up very quickly. Going to tell you, this one's going to sell out before you know it. Book your championship weekend of gambling and football at atlsportstrips.com. That's atlsportstrips.com.
Off his back foot, caught, touchdown!
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta, because money matters.
Good to be the king.
And it's good to know Frank and Rhonda Duffy, too. I mean, Chuck has gotten to know Frank and Rhonda Duffy personally, professionally, three times, right?
Yeah.
So you get to know them both that way, and also, too, on the personal level, you can't help but love both Frank and Rhonda. That's it, Chuck. You said it, buddy. All right, Mateo Uiagalelei is still out there for the taking in terms of National Signing Day. He's got a lot of people after him. He's got Ohio State. He's got Oregon. He's got USC, although it doesn't seem like that's so likely. We'll get to that in just a second. Also got Alabama after him. They might play into this as well. Now, the thought is he's going to end up out there on the West Coast. But we also know the last name, so who could be coming with him if indeed you decide to say yes? Because there is a thought, and I talked about this today with Woody Womack of Rivals over on the Chuck Oliver Show, that this is very much a package deal, that both Mateo and DJ did not get to play with each other in high school, so this is a chance for them to both play at the same place, and DJ probably has a couple of years of eligibility. Woody Womack mentioned Georgia as a possibility. Now, it was reported back in November that Mateo would soon make a visit to Georgia. I have not seen if that has happened since then. But with these other schools out there, is that something with Stetson moving on, that if indeed it meant that you could get a top-tier edge rusher who is 6'5", 265 pounds, is the second-ranked edge rusher at his, or the second-ranked edge rusher in this class of 2023, a five-star? That's not necessarily something you've had at Georgia, at least not a lot of them. And that meant that you got a guy who's just looking for a fresh start, because let's call it what it is. I understand how people feel about DJU. It's kind of like, you know, the at least narratives that are out there somewhat about Stetson, is that with DJ, it's, you know, he can't throw the ball down the field, doesn't trust his feet, all those different types of things. I think that DJU is a lot like Bo Nix was at Auburn. He just needed a fresh start. He just needed another opportunity and a change of scenery. And if you're a Georgia fan out there and you're immediately yelling at your radio as I'm saying this right now, are you necessarily confident in Carson Beck? Are you really that confident in Brock Vandegrift or even Gunnar Stockton, any of those other guys? I think the other element in the equation that kind of tells you, even though Kirby did say not one from the transfer portal this year, that I think he will look that direction in this, Kirby remembers what life was like in 2019 when he didn't really have a viable option at quarterback behind Jake Fromm. And the reason why he has so many in his program now is because he said probably after that season, I ain't ever going to be in this position ever again. So if you're out there, don't necessarily look down on DJU, because it means you could have somebody and a type of player that you haven't had a lot of those guys walking through your door in Mateo Uiagalelei.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Thank you, Daniel. One quick baseball note. According to Ken Rosenthal, the Dodgers are not pursuing free agent shortstop Carlos Correa, in part due to the fan reaction of adding an Astro that played in the cheating scandal role of 2017. That's pretty funny. I enjoyed that. Now, it also means the Giants are going to get him.
Such a loser franchise and fan base.
The Astros? You're right.
No, they're winners now.
I can't picture anybody else that would fit the Correa model of what he's going to get. No, it's not the Braves. I keep seeing Braves fans. Correa, Braves. They're not doing Correa. Giants missed out on Judge. The only other one is the Padres, who have missed out now on two big bats. They could make room for Correa, move Tatis. So those are the two that make the most sense. We'll see how that plays out in the next couple of days. We'll find out about all the drama in the Hawks locker room after two big national reports came out about issues between Nate McMillan and Trae Young. Friend of the show, Brad Rowland, will join us to talk about that in 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, I've got some smoking hot quarterback opinions and some options for the Falcons that might surprise you.
Are they Japanese?
I don't believe so.
Is he male?
Yes.
Starter?
Hopefully.
Right-handed?
Yes.
Younger than 30?
Some of them. We'll find out who they are, but they all make perfect sense, and I'll share them with you next. Ho, and happy holidays. Yes, it's your radio pals, Chuck and Chernoff, as we continue on this Wednesday afternoon on the FAN. Charles, again, under the weather today.
Well, again, I'm going to be back tomorrow.
We're hopeful he'll make a quick recovery and join us coming up tomorrow on the show. Front Office Los, our friend Los, you hear him mornings.
Hoes.
On Extra 106.3, kind enough to pinch hit for the king today. Now, Chuck and I tomorrow will broadcast live from the Atlanta Community Food Bank from 2 to 6 with an opportunity for you guys to help this holiday season. Did you know 1 in 7 children go to bed hungry? And they will tonight. 1 in 8 Georgians are food insecure. The need has never been greater, and every dollar you donate, the folks at the ACFB can provide enough food for up to 4 meals. As year-round supporters of the Atlanta Community Food Bank, we encourage you to help support them in their most pressing time of need. To learn how you can support the Atlanta Community Food Bank, simply log on to acfb.org. That's acfb.org. Friend of the show, Brad Rowland, will join us coming up here in about 5 or 6 minutes to talk about all the drama going on with the Atlanta Hawks, with Trae Young, Nate McMillan, all these meetings behind the scenes. We'll get all the scoop from Brad on all things Hawks coming up in just a couple of moments. But first, Lowe says, we look to the future of the Falcons. The most pressing need remains trying to figure out the quarterback, and there are a number of teams in this same boat, and for the Falcons, they have not been in this boat for a very long time. But I have put together, I think, a plan with some more creative options for the Falcons after what I have been obsessing over, right? You've heard my pipe dream of Lamar Jackson, that if Baltimore puts their foot down and says, we're not giving you this guaranteed money, they tag him, they trade him. Well, maybe the Falcons get in on that.
Okay, so that's option one. I'm writing that one down.
That's, again, a pipe dream, but I want to believe it.
Again, we almost had the possibility of Deshaun Watson being here. So anything could happen with this quarterback carousel these last several years.
So the reason I bring it up, and your Deshaun point is the one I keep coming back to. The Falcons were ready to put themselves more in a salary cap hell. They were about to give up a ton of draft picks, and we know what the package was that Cleveland gave up, and the Falcons had to give up the same package just to talk to Deshaun. So I don't. To your point, I don't think there's a draft bag too big for them to give up. I think they'll do that. I think they pay him $50 million guaranteed. So that's one option. The other one is sort of the Tampa plan of when they ended up with Tom Brady. That Aaron looks at everybody in Green Bay, and Green Bay looks at him and goes, it's not working in either way anymore. Let's see what we can get for you. Send you somewhere. Aaron says, I can go play inside. Don't have to deal with weather. Kyle Pitts and Drake London, Cordarrelle Patterson, good backs, Arthur Smith. That's kind of intriguing, but again, maybe that's a pipe dream. Los, what would you think about some of these options. For example, what if the Jets have fallen out of love with Zach Wilson and they think Mike White is the answer, and the Falcons call and say, yeah, we'll take Zach off your hands for a mid-level draft pick and roll the dice on a young, talented kid that Arthur Smith thinks he can play with. Is that something you might be interested in?
Especially when the price is right, because right now, Zach Wilson, when you're in this part of your rookie deal, the signing bonus all stays with the Jets. So if you tell me you get a look-see at quarterback with a kid who's going to be 24 and he's going to make less than $4 million, that to me is worth a fourth-round pick, and let's see what you got.
All right, let's do another one. What if Aaron Rodgers does try to, again, force his way out of Green Bay, but he wants to end up in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, and the Falcons call the Niners and say, listen, Trey Lance is coming off injury. He's obviously not going to be your short term, and Aaron's going to be here for a couple of years. We'll offer you a mid-round pick, and we'll take Trey Lance off your hands and see if we have a blank canvas of talent that we think we can mold into a quarterback. Is that something that would intrigue you?
Same situation with Zach Wilson. Obviously, one pick behind him, so the dollar figures are about the same. The key thing about Trey Lance, everything that you and I had heard about that draft, Matt, going into it, was the Falcons were zeroing in on Trey Lance, or they were going to take the unicorn. And that was the only two names I heard that was associated to that pick. And so when you tell me about what would happen if you came away from that draft with Trey Lance and Kyle Pitts and you got a ton of cap space, I think you're a little bit interesting.
Here's where the options get a little less sexy, I'll be honest. But again, beggars can't be choosers. And for Falcon fans, we haven't lived this life in a very long time. We went from Michael Vick, a little blip of a year with Joey Harrington and Byron Leftwich, to then Matt Ryan. So before you go screaming at the radio, Matt, don't do it, I brought up the idea of Daniel Jones, and I know what Daniel is. He's not ever going to be anything elite. But I think there's some upside. We've seen it a little bit this year with Brian Daboll, and I think there's some more there, Carlos, that he's a guy who can run. We know that Arthur Smith wants to run RPO stuff. I don't know what a contract would look like, and that's what I would say to you, because I don't want to overpay Daniel Jones. But I also like the idea of his size, his age, and some of the mobility. For the right price, maybe it would make some sense.
I think if you're saying that he's going to take a starter's contract, because remember, the Giants decided to not offer him the fifth-year option. So after this year, he's free. He can decide what he wants to do. Now, they can bring him back and say, let's give him a franchise tag. Let's give him a contract. We'll see. I would think at a minimum, he probably has to be right around $25 million a year. Whoa. If he's just a competent NFL starting quarterback where you believe I can say he's going to be the guy for the next 3 years. Remember, Matt, the number at a baseline to get you in the door right now for the top guys is 40, 45 million.
Yeah.
You know, this is big time poker here.
So I guess the years and the structure would be sort of the bigger part of it. So let's say it was 25, which is going to sound eye popping, but you're 100% right. When you're watching Deshaun get 50 and Aaron get 50 and, you know, these other guys, Josh Allen and all these other guys, 25 probably seems like a reasonable deal. Do you sign him to a 3-year deal with an option for a fourth? I mean, is there somebody who's going to do more than that? It's a little less than like what the Vikings, I know it's a different comp because the money, but just careful not to get into a too long of a deal with a guy like that.
It does feel like this is your version of what the Vikings did. And as long as you have a good team around Kirk Cousins, then they're a good football team. But that's kind of what it feels like. You're going for that guy where there's ability. There's been some production, but it's not top end. You know, maybe your own version of Ryan Tannehill 2023.
And I'm going to mention him in a minute, but let me circle back to the Jets for 1 second. If Zach Wilson gets another shot, they say we've invested too much. They're in a quandary. We like Mike White, but we've invested too much in Zach. Mike White might be a guy that you can go get for pennies on the dollar and say, we'll roll the dice with him here, just because, again, there's not exactly a ton out there. So that's another option. But you mentioned Ryan Tannehill, and that's the least sexy of them. But that one, if the Titans decide to move on because they have finally an out money-wise in his contract, maybe they think Malik Willis for a much cheaper price makes sense for them. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be 36. So it's an older quarterback. Still some mobility, and he still feels like a bridge guy, but maybe Arthur Smith would see it as an upgrade over Marcus Mariota and say, why not?
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
I talk about this being, as a Cowboy fan, when I was wandering in the desert between Troy Aikman and Tony Romo, this is what it feels like, where you start throwing out names and going, maybe he can do this, maybe he can do that. You're looking at a Mike White going, well, I mean, he's kind of performing over there, and he'll just be 27. It's what happens. And so I don't think that when we look back on what happened with Deshaun Watson, I think you understand this team was very forward looking, saying we don't want to be in the desert that long, because this is what it feels like when we talk about a guy who's going to be 36 years old and maybe he could help us out.
And I don't want to gloss over what Desmond Ridder might be, but I'm just not depending on it. I'm not counting on it. If it happens, it's a huge, wonderful surprise. And wow, we can overspend at 10 other positions because we hit the jackpot with a third round quarterback. That's not typically what happens. So I'm not expecting it, but I will circle all the way back to where this started. The Lamar Jackson thing is the one that is the best fit, makes most sense. I think the Falcons would move heaven and earth. And yes, I think they would pay him $50 million a year because the franchise value would go up by $500 million the day he walked in the door, from merch to national TV to primetime to just the overall feel of the franchise. Arthur Blank is not getting younger. I think he'd write the check for Lamar and make the trade and give up more than anybody else. I think he would do it with a snap of a finger.
I think you'd see that well before a first-round pick at quarterback this year. I just because of where you're going to be picking and what's on the board, I think they would rather, just as we said last year and just as you pointed out, when you have an older owner and you do have an interesting football team, that it, to me, it is a quarterback away and some draft picks, and then obviously the money they're going to have, you can have a really intriguing thing going on here if you're able to hit on the quarterback.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears. We've got drama to talk about with the Atlanta Hawks. Story put out by The Athletic and Shyam Sharani and Sam Amick. One of my favorite guys to turn to when it has to do all things with Hawks is Brad Rowland. He's the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast. He's kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Brad, we appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm living the dream. It's been a busy week, but I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Unfortunately, we're talking about drama and off-court stuff, but it did grab a lot of headlines. The Athletic piece that I referred to, Brad, and I want to start kind of right there. If you're guessing, how does this story get out?
Yeah, you know, anytime that something like this happens, you try to connect the dots. It felt like this one was a little bit deeper than some of these stories are, where like you can kind of almost pinpoint where it came from. I think it most probably, you know, either somebody's agent or somebody's brother or something. It's like it starts somewhere, and then good reporters get it, and then they start making calls. And then once they know the story, it's easier to confirm and get detail on the story than to actually break the story, if that makes sense. So it probably started with something relatively innocuous and kind of went from there.
Can I offer a hypothetical, and I have no basis, just an opinion, that is there a chance somebody within the Hawks put it out because we've tried to get through to Trey on some other things and, you know, the superstar sometimes doesn't want to hear it. So we are going to put this out because watching Trey in his media session yesterday, we know it wasn't him. We know he was bothered that it got out. Is there a chance the Hawks behind the scenes tried to get through to him on this issue specifically and others and went, all right, we're going to put it out there and let him have to answer questions about it?
I'd say there's always a chance. I mean, it's conceivable if you think about it. I mean, whether that's a coordinated decision or not, or if it's just somebody in the front office decided, you know, maybe this is a good idea, that's definitely possible. I don't know that to be true for sure, but, you know, given the only handful of people that could know what happened here, that includes the front office, so it's certainly possible.
So let's talk about the issue at hand, and then we'll kind of go broad from here. So on Friday at the shoot-around, Nate and Trey were talking about whether he was going to take part, whether he was going to take part in walkthrough, he's going to play in the game. And listening or reading, I should say, the Shams and Sam Amick piece, McMillan gave him two options of that night's game: that play off the bench or don't show up for the game. That just sounds so weird for a head coach. If the player's healthy enough to play, well, it's Trey, you're going to start, or you're going to just play off the bench or not come. Like, that part of it confused me.
Yeah, it also confused me. And what made it even more confusing was Nate McMillan really only denied forcefully one thing, and it was that he would never tell a player not to come to a game in his first media availability. Now, obviously, that could be just spin, but that was the one thing he pointed out on his own, like he wanted to deny, was that part. And just do the math on this. Also, like, Matt, put yourself in a situation where what if Trey comes to the game and comes off the bench? Do you think the question after the game, number one, number two, number three, is going to be why? Anything but why is Trey coming off the bench? Like, yeah. they were going to have to talk about that at some point. You know what I'm saying? It's just so weird all the way around.
It really is. Brad Rollins, our guest, Locked On Hawks podcast. So, superstar coach drama is nothing new. Hell, we saw it here with Trey and Lloyd. It's happened since the beginning of time with star player and coach. So that, I don't think that's a huge deal. In this case, though, when you read the rest of the Amick and Shams piece, that there have already been several team meetings and behind the scenes, people talk about issues going on. Like, I don't know that we know exactly what's happening, but Brad, we're a month and a half into 2 months into the season, we're hearing about several different issues going on. That's concerning far more than this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think obviously the headline grabbing story is the coach player thing. But if you read deeper, that there's that part about team meetings. There's the part about the locker room in general that was kind of referenced. It wasn't anything specific between players, but I know Sam Amick gave a radio interview or a podcast interview where he said if the locker room is choosing one of the sides, they're actually going to be on Nate's side on this one, which definitely raised my eyebrows too. So obviously you never know, and that could be different sources, but it doesn't seem like it's just Trey versus Nate. It seems like it might be Trey versus everybody on some level on this one. It's a little bit odd.
It's interesting too, right? We heard some of this stuff out of Dallas with Luka, that Luka wasn't getting along with teammates the last couple of years and guys didn't want to play with him, and so ball dominant. So maybe it's some of that. But I think the other intriguing thing here, and this, sometimes we confuse the best player on the team who makes the most money with the guy who's supposed to be the leader. Like, those two things sometimes don't work hand in hand. And maybe Trey, at his age, his style, his personality, maybe that's just not conducive to wanting to be the leader or embracing it the way he should. Is that a possibility?
It's possible. I mean, there's sort of an inherent responsibility to being the face of the franchise and being the guy, especially in the NBA. It's like kind of like being the quarterback in the NFL. Like, even if you're not a natural leader, like you just kind of have to be one. Like, you get to be one as the best player. But I don't think that Trey is a natural, like, vocal leader. I think that's not even a shot at Trey. It's just not really his personality in my experience and what I've heard about him. And you could sort of have that guy in place and have other leadership elsewhere, but there is still always going to be some onus on your guy, in capital letters, being some sort of a leader and setting an example, and there's always a balance to draw there.
So if we play this out, and we don't really know all of this stuff, but if we believe Nate that he's never told a player not to show up, I will tell you, and this comes from a huge Trey fan, and the listeners know that, it's such a bad look for Trey not to be on the bench, number one. Number two, I thought he could have owned it in the media session and said, I had a bad moment, should have been here, that's on me. But he sort of doubled down on it of just, it's none of your business. I don't know if anybody in the organization would talk to him, because I think with superstars, you walk on eggshells sometimes. I wonder if Tony Ressler would. How would they handle the response to what's come out in the media?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that I agree with you on the media session. I thought he didn't look great being as combative as he was the day or 2 days later. Even in a local session, and you know this, Atlanta media is not the hardest media. It's not like this is not New York. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't. So it was a little bit strange there. But yeah, I think anytime a superstar is involved, maybe Tony does get involved. I'm not sure if he has. I'm not saying that he has. But I think that he's been a hands-on guy in the past. And if it wasn't Trey, I don't think it gets to Tony's level. But because it is a national story and because it is Trey, it wouldn't shock me if Trey had a conversation with Tony at some point, or the other way around, or if he was somewhat involved just because of how big the deal became.
Brad Rollins with us. He hosts the Locked On Hawks podcast. He's with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. We know how these things usually work out, and by usually I mean all the time. The superstar is the most powerful guy in the organization. The head coach, even with years left on his contract, is going to be the guy who is shown the door. It probably is not imminent, but Brad, if they are a 500 team for the next month, if we get close to the All-Star break, doesn't it seem like that's the obvious place that we're going to go, is they replace Nate, even with, I don't know if it's, you know, Purdy, who's the interim, who's had some head coaching experience, just to make the change?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the general premise. Like, the head coach is always the one that seemingly gets the axe in these things. You know, it was in that same report, they were saying he's safe. And I don't think he's, like, imminently going to be fired if they lose tonight, for instance. But I think if they had a bunch of losses in a row and, like, had a real dead period, that's what got Willie Pierce, is when they finally lost a bunch of games in a row. That's what ultimately kind of turned the lever on him. And Nate's a more established guy. And like you just said, they don't have Nate McMillan to go to. Like, in that Lloyd Pierce instance, they had a guy who was ready-made to replace him, and everybody knew it. This is not the same situation. If you remove Nate, you don't have your next version of Nate to go to. So it's a little bit less easy on that, and I think Nate has more credibility in the league, much less with the team, than Lloyd did then too. So it's a little bit more challenging, but yeah, I mean, no one should be surprised if they have a downturn at some point if Nate does not make it out of that.
From a team standpoint, I don't know if Trey's frustrated by it. I know I am. I don't like when my owner tells me he's not afraid to go into the tax, and the sole move you trade, you know, the sole reason you trade Kevin Huerter is to go under the tax. Some of the other smaller moves they've made is stay under the tax, and now we're hearing about other moves that they might have to make so they don't approach the tax again. And I don't know if that's part of the reason, once again, they're listening on John Collins. But my fear is, as the Hawk fan, I mean, you have a ceiling. I don't think anybody who's not willing to go in the tax is ever going to compete for a championship. And you could say you are when the right move is there, but trading Huerter just goes against everything that you were saying and you were selling about trying to see the momentum of this team taking the next step.
I totally agree. It's not impossible to win a championship without being in the luxury tax, but it's very hard. And it's very hard if you're making moves on the margins that pretty much obviously make your team worse. You could certainly argue how much it made them worse to lose Huerter, and I was lower on that trade than some people were, but at the very least, that was not a basketball trade. That was a deal that was, yes, they got a first-round pick in the deal, but it was really about money, like you said, and it wasn't the first time, and I think the Collins thing is not all about that, but part of that is that they're worried about the money for the future, and we'll see how they sort of navigate it down the line, but yeah, I think approaching it and saying that you're willing to go on the tax and then making moves that kind of say the opposite of that, it's not going to go over well with your fans that are paying attention.
And I will fully admit, like, again, as a big fan of that team, I mean, this is generations of getting stuck in the middle. And that was my hope on this team, is that they wouldn't get stuck in the middle. And I think as they're currently constructed, the bench is not going to give you much. It's good to have Bogey back, but the bench doesn't offer much. They're not a good shooting team. They're not great defensively. They're better. They're certainly not great offensively. I just look at a team that their ceiling to me looks like the middle.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenge here, is that getting Trey is the big domino that everybody wanted, because you have to have a star to win this league. That's definitely the case. But it gives you a little bit of wiggle room and a little bit of cover, actually, if you're the owner, because you have Trey and now you have DeJounte to say, all right, we have these guys. But if you look down the roster, death was a pretty noticeable concern even over the summer, and they didn't really address it. And part of that is money. And it's kind of a challenge. Like, you have to hit everything so perfectly to win at the highest level that making it harder on yourself by kind of refusing and drawing a line in the sand on the money side, it just kind of hamstrings Travis Schlenk. And, you know, Travis has his strengths and weaknesses too, but he's done a good job in the draft. He's got a lot of things right. But if you are not allowed by your superior to go to a certain level monetarily, it just kind of makes life harder for you.
Yeah, I would agree. Brad's podcast is a wonderful listen if you're a Hawks fan. Locked On Hawks is where you can get all the Hawks scoop, both after games and when stories like with Trey and Nate were happening. It's always a great place to turn. Brad, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me as always.
Appreciate it, my man. There's Brad Rowland on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Coming up next, the bag is important.
Hey, look, it's a bag of weed.
I mean, maybe that's important to some people, but that's not the bag I'm specifically referring to here. No, this is a different bag that's important, but it's one championship-winning college football coach found out that it's more about than just the bag. We'll talk about that next.
I'd rather hear Thistle Hair, the Christmas Bear.
Oh, Thistle Hair, the Christmas Bear, spreading the good news everywhere.
Taking all your holiday requests. Happy holidays from Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Charles is beneath the weather once again today. We wish him a speedy recovery. Hopefully he's back tomorrow.
I am starting a cult.
He has downtime. Front office Los, Carlos Medina, kind enough to pinch hit. You can hear Carlos each and every morning on our sister station, Extra 106.3, with those two other guys.
Matt makes it political.
Well, no, I mean, that's the show they do. I'm just trying to promote it. If you want more of what you're getting here on 680 The Fan when it comes to football, I will promote the Podcast Park. It's got an incredible array of podcasts for college football fans, pro football fans. The Podcast Park is all brought to you by Associated Credit Union, from Falcons to Dogs, Jackets, even high school football. Yes, we have you covered. I hope you've checked out From the Perch, a Falcons podcast with Michael Rothstein, the Punt and Pass Pod with Drew Butler, Bucks Beat, the Chuck Oliver Show, the Southern Beat with Dan Matthews, and more.
I won't be listening to that.
I will be. I download all of them and listen.
Thank you, Matt. The support is appreciated.
Yeah, I put it on 1.8 speed. Listen on enough fast forward. Get all these in your favorite pods at Apple,
right,
Spotify.
I appreciate your support. Go away.
Who asked you anything? Finish a read, Dan. I'm just they tell me to do the read, and I'm doing the read. Shut up, Dan. I didn't say that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So, Los, getting the bag or giving the bag is a very big deal, but sometimes it's not enough. And I think there's one SEC coach who might agree with that now.
Yeah, I think Jimbo Fisher would be able to tell you that in modern college football, and it's interesting how it changes on a regular basis, there's now college football plus the bag, that being the NIL money, and how you have to have the right kind of setup with your program to then introduce the bag. And I reference Hugh Freeze, because if you saw what happened with him being introduced over at Auburn, you basically now have Auburn flat out saying, hey, by the way, our NIL group is the On to Victory group, and they're integrated right with everything that we're doing. We're making sure to tell you, we got a bag for all of you out there. Hugh Freeze obviously had success when he used the illegal bag back at Ole Miss. But you have that cautionary tale, which is Jimbo Fisher, who ended up having perhaps the most disappointing recent season in memory for SEC football, because he went out and got the number one class, gave them all the bag, and then that team fell apart culturally. I think that's that new thing that we have got to recognize, that yes, NIL is going to be highly influential on what goes on with a team, but you've now got to manage not just college football egos, but you also got to manage the egos that comes with the bag.
I would agree. If I wanted to drill down specifically on this, like this, if we like, I said, Elos, give me the five most shocking things before the season that could happen, I don't think you would have put Texas A&M and the season they had on the list, considering what they had recruiting-wise, what Jimbo's put in place, the quarterback depth, all that stuff. They fell apart in a way that most teams who are marginally talented don't fall apart. And it wasn't saved by the LSU win, by the way.
No, that was a team that was sitting on three wins at one point late in the year, and you're like, really? Three wins at the 10-game mark? That's what y'all are doing? And again, now you end up as a 5-7 football team. That's as bad as it gets when you talk about the amount of money that they doled out. And remember, that was the thing during the summer. Hey, that's what they're doing over at A&M, and here's Jimbo going back at Nick Saban, and Nick Saban, you know, kind of sparring over what's going on in NIL. Turns out the joke's on Jimbo. You didn't manage it correctly.
Well, I think Jimbo has shown us he's just a guy. He's not the guy they paid him to be. He's just a guy. And you look around the SEC now, not just in the West, and you start to look at the hurdles you have to overcome. Right now, Georgia's the biggest hurdle, but just in your division, you've still got the monster that is Alabama. Brian Kelly very quickly at least got things pointed in the right direction at LSU. You are going to have to deal with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss for at least a little while longer. Miss State is not something to completely ignore with Mike Leach. I'll even mention Arkansas. You can't just ignore because of what they put together with Sam Pittman. Oh, by the way, Tennessee and Josh Heupel might have started something. Shane Beamer in South Carolina. Tell me where Texas A&M gets over on any of those teams.
That's the problem. And that's where a team that's consistently been right around 9 or 10 wins, which is not good enough for what they want, is kind of where they are. And again, you introduced all this new NIL and they brought in all the recruits. I saw one linebacker who had made the comment, now that everyone got the bag, they're now transferring to where they actually were planning on going. So it'll be interesting to watch the portal and to see how many of those signees, especially over the last 2 years, have decided to jump to other universities over the next month and a half.
Yeah, that to me is kind of interesting. So I saw the number. I think we were over 400 kids in the portal, which doesn't necessarily mean you're leaving, but it does give you some leverage and some negotiating power when it comes to both NIL and playing time somewhere else. But to see what it looks like when this is all done in College Station will be another fascinating part of the Jimbo Fisher that, at least to this point, epic failure. Like, it's been an epic, not just a failure, an epic failure for what they're trying to get done. All right, coming up next, Stetson Bennett has something else in common now with Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow.
They're both white.
Well, I just named one, two, three. But two of them are black, and I named three guys. So, I mean, maybe with Joe Burrow.
I don't see color. I would have just called them all white or all black.
I see what you're doing.
Did they walk on coals and stuff like that?
I believe so. Yes, that's exactly what. Why do I tease it? That's it.
I don't know.
It's okay. You're allowed to guess.
plus, that cease and desist doesn't really affect Brian Hoyt.
Oh, no. There's nothing off limits to him. He doesn't care if you work at another radio station.
What's that?
It does not matter.
Huh?
And if these numbers are accurate, I think Braves fans should prepare for life without Dansby.
Awesome.
No, it's not awesome at all.
Oh, I'm such an idiot.
It's okay. How about we stop playing those? We'll talk about those stories.
Except the Anne Frank one. The Anne Frank one stays.
Isn't the Anne Frank museum there?
I hate everybody I work with.
Yeah, that's a classic spot there, buddy.
No, we'll talk about it next.
Huh?
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I
treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.